everybody, and welcome to Around Town. I'm your host, Ron Giordano. Our goal is to bring you interesting stories and guests as we broadcast from 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station, WHRULP. Our guest today is Roscoe Stelfort, the city manager of our city of Woodstock, the home of the county seat. Roscoe, welcome to Around Town.
Thanks, Ron. Thanks for inviting me today.
Well, that's okay. Tell us about what's going on in Woodstock. I'm sure a lot of people out there want to know what's happening, what's going on, and what's taking place that they don't either hear about or aren't in tune to.
Well, I think they've heard a lot of what's going on at Woodstock lately. We've been getting a lot of media attention, which is a positive thing. So I'd like to joke around that generally it's easier to talk about what's not going on at Woodstock than what's actually going on at Woodstock.
Okay, that's fair.
But you probably heard we won the T-Mobile Hometown Tech Over Award, which was fantastic. We're the first community to go through that process with T-Mobile. We really appreciate all their support for the city of Woodstock. Overall, it's generated $250,000 in total grants. We started off with a $50,000 top 10 grant. We were very excited to hear that announcement. And then later on, we were the chosen one. So that gave us an additional $200,000 on top of that. They've upgraded the T-Mobile service in the community now with the tower. So it's just like being in downtown Chicago if you're on the T-Mobile network as far as 5G and the ability to pick up the latest and greatest. Added even two new towers to our community so that we would have that coverage throughout our community. They paid for a renovation of one of our baseball fields. They gave out 100 T-Mobile prize packs that were delivered to our community. Really nice thing is they gave us 2,000 hotspots for our students for D200 school district so that they could connect to the internet at home. And then we had recently the Hometown Tech Over concert where Florida Georgia Line came out to the county fairgrounds to visit with us and put on a show, which was well received. Everybody enjoyed it. And then for a geek like me, we had the Smart Growth America study where they came in and they kind of showed us what's the proper way to, for a community of our size to grow. What should we be investing in so we have a brighter future going forward? So that report's been delivered to us. We've been working with the council on how do we execute some of those strategies.
With all those upgrades, the one thing that when they ask is, what about like the rural areas? Those are always the areas that it's hard to get reception with your phone.
Yeah, the rural areas for us, I'm sure they're benefiting to some degree if they're close enough to the city of Woodstock from those towers. It is something I know that the county's working on, specifically when you're talking about data and being able to connect to a broadband experience. Uh-huh. There's a lot of federal money out there right now. I have the pleasure of serving as the chairman for the network consortium, for the fiber network consortium, which is a group of the county, the city, the school district, the college, as well as ETSB. And I know the county is very actively pursuing a lot of grant money so that they can push fiber out into rural areas and encourage that residential growth.
That's great, because that seems to be one of the problem areas is the rural areas.
It is. And if you know the way today's society is, you know, when it comes to your children, they got to have that phone and they got to have that connectivity to the internet, right?
Absolutely.
That is paramount. So getting internet throughout the county is definitely a great thing.
And you've got a lot going on in Woodstock as far as reorganization, too, I believe, correct?
Yes. Yeah, if you... I believe it's now over a year ago, our council took a look at the organization with a new mayor and new council and said, we think at the time I had 13 direct reports that reported to me, all the various departments, and they felt like it would be good to bring in several other positions that would help spread that load and get them more support. So we did add three executive director positions to our organization. We did hire one from the outside, but we didn't promote two internally, and we didn't end up backfilling a position further down. So ultimately, that helped with savings and not costing as much as what we originally thought it might cost. I would estimate probably over $300,000 in savings for that move, and gave our people, some of our people, a chance to have the opportunity to perform at a higher level.
Well, promoting from within is always a good thing, too, and it encourages people to do a better job and to grow in their job. And I know what happens, the community right away says, well, gee, you're adding more people, it's going to cost more money, more taxes, but there's more to it than just that.
There is. You know, I was just looking, we're in the process of developing the budget right now. And our head count, our number of employees in 2007, we just eclipsed that by two new full-time employees going into this last fiscal year in FY22-23. So that's quite an achievement and quite a challenge, and says a lot about the city staff and their ability to pull together.
You know, the thing that people don't realize too is that you've been city manager for quite some time, and that's been a monumental task with what we've gone through with COVID and everything else. And you should really be commended for all the work you've done, Roscoe.
Thanks. I appreciate it, Ron. But it's the staff behind me that deserve the credit, because, I get a lot of the credit as an individual, but the reality is it's the people that are working at the city of Woodstock. They're the ones that are actually making it happen, and I can't express my appreciation to them enough.
How about this neighborhood redevelopment strategy that you got going on? What's going on there?
We've been working with the county on that as well. There is a community development block grant funding where we're able to utilize that for a specific neighborhood in our community. We've decided to go with a pilot because we didn't want to go full-blown until we had more experience with the program. So we have a designated area in our community where we've reached out to those neighbors and ask them to come in and look at improvement projects for their home. It could be windows, it can be a new roof, it can be a whole host of things to help improve it. There are some limitations. It's not something we can do citywide, because just to use the CDBG funds has to be an area that's low to moderate income. And so that's why we picked the area we picked, is because it qualifies for the low and moderate income. So we're still trying to get that program off the ground. We've got about three applications that have been submitted so far, and we're pushing to get more.
Is the federal government helping out that way? I know there's been a big push about insulating your homes and things like that. Is there any assistance from the federal government, Roscoe?
Yeah, CDBG is federal money. It comes through HUD, but it's allocated at the county level. Our community, if we were a city like Elgin or a city of Rockford, something like that, they get their own CDBG allocation. They don't actually go through the county, because McHenry County has smaller communities generally. The county's the one that's responsible for allocating those dollars.
Okay. The big thing next, I think, is streets, the infrastructure for streets, that program, because everyone has that battle. Huntley, Woodstock,
sure.
McHenry, they're all in the same boat.
Yeah, I agree. We're good or bad, we're one of the older communities in McHenry County, so we have some older streets. So we need to be investing more in our streets, which we've been doing over the last couple of years. We met with council, sat down with them, talked to them. This was definitely a priority of our council, and so we've come up with a mechanism where we are funding now $10 million in street improvements. And so to give your listeners some perspective, generally in the city of Woodstock, we were about $2.5 million of streets per year. Now we're running more like 11, 12, 13 million, because we're still using that money that we were spending before and supplementing it with about $10 million in debt to make this work. So
is that like a five-year program to get them all covered?
Yeah, it's going to be a five-year program. It won't get everything, but we're hoping to get in the 65-70% range. We also changed strategy, too, on how we were doing streets. Before, what we were doing was worst is first, so we would do the worst streets we could. And what we were finding is we have more streets falling into the worst category than we could lift up. So
that's fair.
So for our residents to know, the first year of the $10 million program, we might have looked like we were doing a bunch of streets that didn't need it, and there were other streets that were definitely higher priority, and they're right. But what we found was by doing those particular streets, there's a significant financial cost increase if you were to delay by a few years for those. So we were trying to lift all that up and get that up to excellent condition, and then start focusing on those streets that were already going to cost quite a bit of money. So we just did Dean Street this year. We have not officially announced yet what the streets will be next year, but I know staff's looking very hard at Lake Avenue and making some improvements along there. We're also trying to do water and sewer at the same time, which increases the expense.
Sure.
But I think it's a smart play, because if you just put in this wonderful brand new street and you get a water line that fails underneath it, and then you're tearing the street up, that doesn't go over too well.
That's so. Like the city, they pave something and then 2 days later they're tearing it up and repairing it.
Yeah.
What about the status of the roundabouts? I mean, before you do a street, if there's a roundabout coming, I'm sure you don't want to do a street because then you're tearing things up all over again.
Yeah, so the roundabout, we did move all of our utilities. The roundabout that we currently put in, that's on Madison and South and Lake Street. Our team, well, we paid for a contractor, and they actually moved all the city's utilities so they won't be in conflict with the roundabout. We'll have the same issues when they start doing Route 47 in the future and put roundabouts in there, where we're going to have to move our utilities out of the way so that that preserves it. But, you know, there was some hesitation, I think it's safe to say, in our community about the roundabout. And now that people have experienced it, I'm hearing mostly good things about it. And I can tell you, I did not know how often as a resident I use the intersection until until that area was closed and I couldn't go through it anymore. And now that it's open, I think I've only had to stop maybe two times to wait for another car to go through.
Well, I think part of that comes from the roundabouts. Some of them in Wisconsin, after they were constructed, they found the semi-trucks could not make the roundabout.
Yeah.
So they had to either tear them up and do it all over again or change it back to where it was. So it's like poor planning to begin with.
Yeah, I think we're okay there. That's what the brick pavers are for on the inside, actually, is for the trucks to be able to mount that curb. And so that they, because they just don't have the same turning radius
right.
as a car does. So right. that's why they put that in. Now, we do have some residents that view those brick pavers as a shortcut and don't stay on the pavement, which you're supposed to be on the pavement if you're in a car, just so you know.
So Route 47 roundabouts, how's that going to work? Because that's such a heavily traveled road. I mean, how do you divert the traffic? Where does it go?
Well, the state will have a plan for that. It's obviously not going to be an enjoyable experience for anybody while we're under construction. They will always keep one lane open in both directions throughout the construction of the project itself. The roundabouts themselves that they're looking at putting in this phase of the project is definitely at Lake Avenue and McConnell. They're also putting a roundabout up at Irving, up by the Wendy's. As well, they're not going to be putting a roundabout at 120. That is one of the things that IDOT taught us, is that for a roundabout to be successful, the first major lane of traffic and the second major lane of traffic have to be opposite each other. If the second major lane of traffic actually is coming to the right of the first major lane of traffic, it will break the roundabout. So we can't use the 120 part.
Just a reminder, folks, you're listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. We're talking to Roscoe Stelfer, the city manager of the city of Woodstock. Roscoe, with the roundabouts they put in, is there going to be one over there by the Brothers Restaurant?
Yes, there will be. Three Brothers. That will be at Lake Avenue. They're doing that because they really looked at replacing the railroad bridge that goes over Route 47. If they replace the bridge, which they would have to do if they can't continue with the traditional intersection design, that's a $30 million project, additional cost to the project.
Does the railroad pay any money for that bridge work?
I think they might have to pay like 5% of whatever the cost of the bridge is.
That's
not a great deal. It's not a great deal for the state.
No, it isn't.
So they wanted to avoid that, and they feel very comfortable. They can get four lanes under the existing bridge. They're going to have to take out the pedestrian access and put in a separate pedestrian tunnel under the bridge, which will cost about $1 million. But it's much better than paying the $30 million. But in order for that to work, they have to use roundabouts on both sides, because otherwise you need the additional lanes for like right and left-hand turns.
Correct.
Where they have to taper those back, and then they would have to redo the bridge. So
now how do the pedestrians get through then once that happens? They can put tunnels on the
There will
the
be
bridge?
Just a tunnel on the east side. So the pedestrians will have to cross through the roundabout, which will be, what we've been told, will be a lot safer than what the current configuration is with roundabouts, because you only generally have to look one direction. And then once they get to the east side, they'll be able to go through that pedestrian underpass that they're going to put in.
And how about economic development? What's happening there?
Oh, a lot's happening in our economic development. We've got a whole host of new businesses that have chosen to come to town. For the sake of time, I probably don't have time to go through the entire list as well. And I want to also make sure that our existing businesses know how much we appreciate them, too, because I know a lot of times the community, a lot of love is given to our new businesses, but our existing businesses,
right.
they make up your community. So we've had a lot of expansions and business moves in town. You probably have seen the city was supportive of Mack Automation, a local manufacturing company that's really been growing. They're located behind the Walmart. They've recently added a bunch of space to their manufacturing operation. We're very proud of that. And Kunis Country coming to Woodstock and purchasing the Benoit family-owned dealership for many years and converting that over.
And they're building a new store. I think they purchased that.
They purchased that too, yeah. Yeah, so they're definitely expanding. And then you saw the new Aldi as well go under, well, it's actually now fully open and right across from the Walmart. We got several other businesses looking in the area too that are purchasing property and looking to build some new. We put in a tax increment financing district in our community that's helped significantly with getting some new growth and development in the community. And Woodstock's also part of the Enterprise Zone, the only one that's in the county, which has been very beneficial too because it helps using some state funds and some state perks be able to get businesses to locate in Woodstock. Sure. And be able to take advantage of those. So we always encourage any business looking to expand to reach out to our economic development team at the city of Woodstock, and they'll be glad to help them.
And Harley took over the old Kmart building, correct?
Harley has been in the old Kmart for quite a while, but they also bought the Silken building that's next to Walmart, and they're using that for storage. They started a class program there where they're teaching new mechanics, motorcycle mechanics, working in conjunction with the community college.
That's a large facility, that Silken facility.
It is a very large facility, yeah. But they had some pretty big storage needs. They used to use the old Farm and Fleet for their storage needs. And then when that got converted over, they had to find another place, and they worked with the city, and we were able to, gladly get them into that
sure.
Silken building.
Now, is Bull Valley Ford, they finished with their expansion?
They are, but they're looking at another one. They're talking to the city right now. With the electric vehicles that are coming in, they're going to have to make some expansions, add some additional space, and they have to bring in things like new lifts for the cars because you can't lift cars up with the traditional electric cars, at least.
Right,
because
the batteries
lifts.
Are on
Yeah, the batteries
car.
Are on the beneath, so yeah. The lifts now have to lift everything based on the tires, based on the wheels, so they're going to have to purchase new lifts, and they got put in charging stations.
So which way did they go? Because south of them is just, there's nothing there, right?
South of them, they do own that one building that's to the south. You see them park the cars there as well, and they have the lot behind them. So I know our economic development team don't want to let too much out of the bag.
Sure.
They've been working
okay.
with the owner there. But he's been great to work with, and we really appreciate his investment in the city of Woodstock.
We thought maybe it'd be a first on our station over here, so. But that's great. Developments like that, that's what you need. Same as Huntley, you need developments like that. That's what makes it work. The food shed, that's coming another year yet?
Food shed might be open this calendar year. They've submitted plans, and they've made their announcement. They picked their location on Route 14, and we're very happy to have them join the city of Woodstock. I think it'll be a great option for folks to go do their grocery shopping at, and it's a great sure. concept.
I know a lot of people, when they go to the square, they see all the work being done in the courthouse. Can you give us what's going on there? Tell us about that a little bit.
Sure. Yeah, we're very proud of the courthouse. I know it's had some challenges as far as all the various change orders that we've seen over the last few months. But that's the problem when you get into a very old historic building of all sorts of surprises that you see as you open
right.
things up. And we want to make sure we do it right. We don't want to see any major things have to be redone again in the not-so-distant future. So we're trying to make sure we do the project right. But I'm very pleased with city staff and of course, with council and it's been a huge team effort to pull this off. We had the State Historic Preservation Office come out and meet with us. As part of our funding mechanism, we're using historic tax credits to pay for this, and they were just amazed to see how is a local government actually tapping into these historic tax credits, because you probably know, Ron, we don't pay taxes for
right.
a local government, so we actually had to partner up with PNC Bank and monetize the credits through them. So
okay.
they became a partner of ours. They gave us cash in return for the transfer of these credits.
And so what's the timeline for completion for that project?
We're looking mid-June where we'll probably be done. Now that might, with supply chain
take,
and other
right.
things,
right.
It was supposed to be earlier than that, but we're hoping right now mid-June. And then that's still, you're turning it over to the tenants then. So you're probably looking mid-July to end of July where it's actually going to be.
And that's my next question. Then what happens? Who goes into that building?
We've got the tenants already all lined up. You know, you got Ethereal is going to be taking over with a new business, the upstairs courtroom for weddings and events. And so it's going to be an event center, which we're very excited about. Of course, we have the public house returning back into the lower level is a restaurant, and that's all going to be redone. So when it's open, I encourage everybody to come take a look at it and check it out. And we've got some new business, too. Mopcraft is going to be coming from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, a brewer that's going to be very exciting and it's very encouraging. We just got done with a revolving loan for them to help finance that business plan. We also have the Woodstock Area of Chamber, and actually at the Tuesday's council meeting, they have passed a lease with a company with Woodstock owners, but it's currently in Algonquin. They're opening up a second location in Woodstock. It's called Makety Make, so it's going to be an arts-based business that's going to be based out of the old courthouse. So a lot of exciting tenants.
So when all these open up, the next question is going to be, where does everybody park, especially if you have a banquet?
Sure. You know, we like to remind people there are 1,400 parking spaces in the downtown itself. We've added some additional parking over the years. We've been in conversations with like BMO Harris Bank has a parking lot that we'd like to see if we can acquire. We used to lease that back in the day. You know, there's been discussion at some point about parking garages and the use of parking parking garages. If you recall the diecast site, that's one of the things that they're talking about is putting a parking garage on that site, which that would, of course, be helpful. And with that being right next to the train as well, that would be beneficial, too. So we do have some lots that don't right now see as much usage. Definitely the Wheeler lot, which is kind of tucked away, and that's only there. I only seem to see cars there when there are events, major events going on in our downtown, as well as like the Throop Street parking lot. Sometimes there's quite a bit of space in there too during the day. So I think we've got some capacity. It's one of those balancing acts, though, too, Ron, because I think if you want to look long term, I think there's going to be autonomous cars will become prevalent in our society. It might be 20, 30 years from now, because I know I'm going to have a hard time giving up driving. But it'll make life on my kids a lot easier. Instead of having to take the keys away from dad, they can just give me a dumb, you know, have me buy one of those cars.
Right.
But then parking will just evolve. You know, right now we want our cars to park close to us because we don't have to go far to get our car.
Right.
Now the car could park a mile, 2 miles away. You go on some app on your phone, click a button, and the car comes and picks you up at some pickup zone that's already been designated. So it will change the landscape as far as parking goes.
I think so. And, you know, you mentioned the train station. Is it still on for the railroad to be parking their cars? I know they want to move from, Crystal Lake to Woodstock.
Yeah, they do. We've been working with Metra, with McHenry County, with the state, feds, all about moving the rail yard that's currently, there's one in Crystal Lake, there's one in Barrington, there's one on Harvard. Talking to Metra, they say that those lots are full and they can't change or add trains to the schedule. I think with the Arlington Heights and the Bears possibly moving out there, that's added some additional pressure.
Sure.
The fact that they need more capacity on that line. So if they move, they've been talking a while now about putting a rail yard out west of Woodstock. We've got a property that we think would be a good place for that. There's a whole process, though, because the project itself is about $120 million. The county's got around $20 million that they're allocating towards this as a partner for this. Metro is going through what's called the NEPA process, which is about 18-month process, which is required by federal law for projects of this type and for this dollar amount. And what we'll do is look at all the environmental issues potentially for the project, as well as make sure that this is the right place to put a project like this. And so once they clear through the NEPA process, then we go to land acquisition, and the county is willing to use their $20 million. I think it's going to be around $8 to $11 million for the engineering so that we can start getting this engineered. And in the meantime, when we went down to Springfield a week or two ago, that's part of our whole lobbying is to push to get the rail yard for Woodstock. For Crystal Lake, it frees up their downtown. But for Woodstock, it gives us the same service levels as what Crystal Lake currently experiences. So we go from, let's say, 10 trains to 20 some trains a day which would be a significant improvement to our for our commuters.
One real quick question. How's it looking for Route 47 expansion from Reed Road to Route 14?
That's something else we've been lobbying for as well. As part of the broader group, you know, the city is part of the McHenry County Council of Governments. Our mayor currently serves as a transportation committee chair. That is a project that's high on their list. So when we were down in Springfield, we were asking for them to look at funding that project specifically. That's about $120 million to build that out. They do have funding right now to redo the intersection at 176 and 47. And they're going to be improving that with moving, I think it's the Prairie Garden Road.
Pleasant Valley Road.
They're going to line that on the southern part so that that'll become the new 176 and connect back over to 176 instead.
Well, we've been talking to Ross Costell for the city manager for Woodstock today, and we have enjoyed his company. It sounds like he's got a fairly busy day. He's probably got some open time there from all the projects he's got going on, right, Roscoe? But you're listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio station. Go to huntleycommunityradio.com and click on Contact Us to get more information. In the meantime, folks, have a great day.